Okay, so let's talk about imposter syndrome. I would love for Alec, who raised the issue, perhaps to share a little bit about the premise. I think I'd love to refresh myself on why you raised the issue, and then we'll go from there. Alec, can I ask you to do that?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I don't have a firm definition of imposter syndrome, but it, from what I understand it, or if I just paraphrase, it's when someone feels like they're posing as somebody who they're not, or they're claiming to have skills that they might not have. And so, that's colloquially imposter syndrome. And the reason I raise it is because, there are times when I think we all feel like, we can be out of our depth a little bit. I largely think that it's good to be out of your depth, that you're actually in the right place as long as you have a good balance, not too deep, so that you're stretching yourself, you're challenging yourself. You're able to use all of your skills and abilities at full force, rather than maybe being half throttled. So that's one of the things. And so I guess one of the questions is, so is imposter syndrome, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? And then, what kind of advice can you give us around imposter syndrome, or feeling like you're being challenged or maybe too challenged, and how that may impact your confidence in doing a project and looking at your next role, et cetera?
No, that's great. Great introduction. Who, like, how, I would love to hear maybe start differently and say, well, how many people have felt imposter syndrome in their careers? Or should I say, have anyone not feel it? What do you guys think? After that definition, have you, I wish I had a polling. I should add that to my technical features, but kind of verbally, has anyone?
Can I add to that definition real quick? I think it's also when you don't believe the fact that your success is deserved,
Ooh.
right? You constantly almost undermine your own abilities. I agree with
Interesting.
what Alex said, but just to add that little spin there, I feel like that a lot, always have.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a great comment.
Yes, Vanille?
No, that's a great comment. I would completely agree with that.
So I think this topic has to do a lot with confidence, and we've talked about that before. So I'll read to you. I had to look this up. Imposter syndrome officially on Wikipedia means it's a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their accomplishments or talents and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. Despite external evidence of their competence, those experience this phenomenon remain convinced that they're frauds and do not deserve all they have achieved. Individuals with imposterism incorrectly attribute their success to luck or interpret it as a result of deceiving others into thinking they're more intelligent than they perceive themselves to be. While early research focused on the prevalence among high-achieving women, imposter syndrome have been recognized to affect both men and women equally. Well, from that definition, Alec, I think it's a negative thing. And I just pulled this up, but I actually think when I was looking at it, I think that doing something that scares you is a good thing. Whether that something paralyzes you is what determines whether it's going to be good or bad for you, right? I'll tell you a story, and I wonder if most of you felt this, but at the time, I thought I was the only person feeling it. I was graduating from Stanford. I had an electrical engineering degree. I was one of the Tau Beta Pi scholars, which is the honors of high GPA. And I got like quite a few different jobs in different industries. And yet I had the strongest imposter syndrome fears for months because I was going to McKinsey. I had no idea what I was doing. I thought I was lucky in getting all my A's in all of my classes because I've always been a good student, even though I don't remember anything I studied. And I didn't know what it was called, but I thought somebody was going to find out that I have no idea what I'm doing and they're going to embarrass me and I was going to become exposed. And that's how I felt out of college. And it wasn't until...
Can play related to that?
Yeah. Well, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, related to that, I know just even having been to Stanford like you, just being there, I felt imposter syndrome because you hear all of the accomplishments of all of your classmates and it gives you pause to think, how did I get in? And, obviously they saw something.
Yeah.
But it was intimidating at first.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, thankfully, I didn't have as many. I was too busy trying to pass my classes and focus like a good Asian student to get all my A's that I didn't overly question because I knew how to study and I knew how to take tests. So in some ways, high school to college was not as jarring, perhaps. It was more fun and it was, maybe I just don't remember it. But I clearly remember graduating and I had job offers and I chose one of the more prestigious jobs with a good brand, flying all the way to Hong Kong to be an analyst. Well, oh my God, I was scared. I was like, oh my God, I got through the interviews, but I have no business background. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I didn't know what it was called, but it was called imposter syndrome. And I think... I think that it's right on what Wikipedia said. I do think that if we focus on it and believe in it so much, it will paralyze us. And then it will, just like Allah said, if success is not deserved and you think you're beyond kind of what you're really capable of, you're going to have the consistent fear. And that fear will paralyze your actions and you'll either start actually live into a self-fulfilling prophecy of I don't deserve to be here, I'm not going to be able to, etc. Or I do think that, on the other hand, I've learned many years later, thank God, that almost, I can guarantee, I don't need to ask you, I can guarantee all of you probably have had this feeling. And I don't mean just once occasionally, but often throughout your careers already. And many of you probably have overcome it and did things in spite of perhaps having that fear and excelled tremendously in the jobs that you first thought, I don't know if I can do it, kind of thing. Anybody want to share? Or a Tara story about that. Or disagree with me.
Actually, what I wanted to add, this verse here, I wanted to say that I don't know if that's common with people who have, imposter syndrome or experience it. Like, to me, I know it's not just with my job. I constantly
like mindfulness or like about other things that happen in my personal life as well. And I'm not sure if they're related, just based on, the personality type, or maybe they have nothing to do with each other. Just curious.
Well, I think confidence has a lot to do with each other because, I mean, take a personal example. Who you think is your equal as a partner in life, for example, could determine your happiness. You could be less confident about your appearances or who you are, how attractive you are, and you could settle for who should be your partner versus... I don't know if that's where you're going with your comment, Roshi, but I do think that this isn't just about work. It is about how much do you believe in yourself and how much do you go for things that are beyond possibly your immediate experience and how much you would go try to learn new things and go for that higher, I don't know, standards, experience, etc. Or are you going to get paralyzed or convince yourself that because I succeeded based on luck so far, like I really should be careful, otherwise I'll embarrass myself, I will be exposed, etc. Hey, I heard another beep that came in. Who was that?
Sorry, that was Roshi. I got disconnected. I had to reconnect again.
Oh, no problem. So what I was saying is I do think it actually has both work and life parallels. But I think that, and I don't know, Alec, if this is answering your question or Allah, if this is addressing what you're saying, is that imposter syndrome, by its core definition in Wikipedia, is a bad thing, right? Is a bad thing because if you become paralyzed by those thoughts and you believe them to be true, then you're not going to push yourself to go further. But however, what I think Alec was alluding to was more the fact that when you take on work, that makes you feel like, I got one by this recruiter. I actually was able to convince them I'm really like fit for the job when I'm not, maybe I'm not as confident as I came out to be. I think maybe you were terming that imposter syndrome, and that's just a feeling or a doubt that you may have. That's actually a good thing to scare yourself. I always think there's a spectrum. Just like there's good stress and there's detrimental stress. There's kind of a good level of discomfort. And I was talking to some of you one-on-one about, if you're not being uncomfortable, you're not probably learning, which means you're not probably pushing yourself hard enough. I recommended to some of you this new show called Ted Lasso on Apple TV. And it's funny, I love the show so much. I was literally writing down quotes this guy was saying because it was meaningful, right? And one of the quotes he said was, taking on new challenges is like riding a horse. If you're doing it and you're feeling comfortable, you're not doing it correctly. And he says it with a big smiley face. And you have to watch the show to get more of the personalities of things. But so I actually do think that there is... I kind of want to hear a little bit more from maybe Allah or Alec or others about, like, what's driving you to ask the question? Is that keeping you from doing things, or is there a challenge based on that question that you want to overcome? Or, tell me a little more context of what you're trying to learn from today's call.
So for me, I guess I would say it's I think a healthy dose of imposter syndrome, as long as you don't get paralyzed by it, is a good thing at times, because you're kind of pushing yourself on the edge. You're on the edge of adhesion while you're racing your Formula One, if your Formula One is your career or your learning. So that was largely what I was getting at was, you know, but how do you balance that, you know, your confidence or overconfidence with self-awareness? So I wanted to understand what your point of view was on that balance, and how to get more people to push themselves and to reach for things that they maybe aren't aware that they could accomplish.
Great point. Ala?
So I keep thinking about imposter syndrome a little bit differently, in the sense that I think that imposter syndrome could be coming from childhood, right? Like, there's some studies that show that children born to overachieving parents, or those who can't balance out, praise versus not praise, you know, those children tend to lean towards imposter syndrome a little more as they grow up. If it's not the case, right, and it's imposed imposter syndrome, which I think I'm totally agreeing that a healthy dose of that is important in as far as self-growth goes, right? I do think that, for me personally, starting a new career, as most of you know, that I did end of last year, getting into a new team and taking on a great challenge for myself, I freeze sometimes. So just like Alec, I'm really curious to know on how do you battle that, how do you find that balance? Right. Mm. When do you step back, and when do you take on the challenge and say, you know what, like, this is hard, but you can do it. You know, trust the fact that you can figure it out. And maybe there's some, some kind of practice. Maybe it's just breathing exercises. You know, just any advice is welcome. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with this.
Yeah. No, these are great. I do think that. It's the underlying fear, right? Versus having faith in yourself that you can figure it out is really the answer. Now, how do you do it practically? Well, I would say definitely you need to, one, surround yourself with positive people who would believe in you, whether that is at home or at work. You want to be surrounded by people who are trying to help you grow, and not people who are at the first moment of you making a mistake try to highlight it to you and in front of other people, for example. So the environment that you chose to challenge yourself absolutely, I think, matters. I think number two is having more of a self-awareness that you're actually doing it matters, and catching yourself, because a lot of times, and when we say everybody say we multitask. None of us can multitask. All we're doing is switching our energies between what we're trying to learn and do versus what we're trying to think about and worry about. And when we put in a lot of effort trying to perfect something and put a standard towards it, you're actually distracting your energy to learn and excel by actually overthinking something. So a practical way of perhaps doing that, and this will sound interesting to high achieving groups, is lower the bar of what you judge as something achieved. Because just doing is important. When in doubt, take the action and just do something.
Lee, can I add something to that, towards your point?
Please.
This is Sudha here.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I totally understand where Ala, I had a similar situation, but there are two things which
helped me the most, which I've seen, you know, other than what Leigh talked about, you know, being around with the positive people and surroundings and an association. The other two things I did personally, which helped me was, you know, you know, when you are in doubt, you know, or in low at any point, you are kind of comparing yourself, your weakness with somebody else's strength. Okay, so that's again self-awareness. So once at that point, you know, you try to pull yourself away from that, you have a lot of good strength. And so it's kind of a downward syndrome, you know, it goes just right on the drain, you know, if you start thinking about that.
So, yeah, there's no good outcome by focusing on what's wrong, because all of us have flaws.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So, and immediate thing, what I do is, like, you know, just take a piece of paper or just speak to myself about a self-talk, cheat sheet, whatever. At that point of time, you need to have it in front of you and speak to yourself. That will quickly come out of that, you know, fear or anxiety or any kind of, you know, not sure that situation. So you get a lot of strength with that. This is what I experienced.
No, that's a great ad. And I think you added that other thing that I was going to add as a tip, is ask for help and perspective. Because sometimes you could get stuck. And the self-awareness is important, because if you are stuck and you're going down a negative path of thinking, by just keep trying to talk yourself out of it, sometimes it may not work. You just need to go talk to your friend, your manager, your colleague, you know. And whoever you trust, though, you know, that comes back to surround yourself with supporting people, because they're going to give you a healthy dose of intelligent comparison versus what you might have exaggerated in your mind, right? I'll read something in a book that I read, like, gosh, for the last decade. It's more of a metaphysics book called Rays of Dawn. And it talks about fear. And it's interesting how it says, fear is a destructive emotion. Anyone who suffers from it should know and comply with the laws governing fear. Find out, there's four kind of things you can do. Find out what it is that causes you to fear. So this is what I think Sudo was talking about. Start writing down. Because sometimes fear becomes this unknown thing. When you don't have it really known, it kind of keeps you from sleeping and focusing on anything else. So if you're feeling like you have that fear and you're getting incapacitated, just write it down. Like, what exactly are you scared? Are you scared of losing your job? Are you scared of somebody? Like, write those things down, because once you write them down, perhaps they become a little bit sillier, because you realize, well, that's probably not likely. Because the second part, and this is hard, it's called eliminate the fear through intelligent action. I've always asked people, well, what does that really mean? But you do want to, it's like, depending on what your fear is, you can take some action and you can really ask yourself, well, how likely is that? I've had this kind of fear, and it creates so much stress that one of my feedbacks in one of my consulting days, I said, I just have so much stress. And the guy has managed me through a couple projects. And he said, Leigh, he said, I just want to give you this different perspective. He says, when was the last time you had a project where you didn't know anything about what you were going to get into? And I said, well, it was pretty much like every project. Consulting was always new industry, new problems. And he's like, great. You know, so you always gotten into situations where you didn't really know exactly how you were going to solve it when you started. And he said, well, how many times did you in the past completely failed and never came up with an answer? And I said, well, I think I always figured it out. He said, yes, you always come up with an answer of some kind, and you've always worked towards finding something. And you got to remember that when you're overly stressed, you got to remember your actual track record, that if you focus 100% of your energy on actually doing what it is you're there to do, you will find answers, because you're asking the questions about the work, about the problems. You're asking for help when you can't do it yourself. And I always remember that. I mean, he was like, I had stress management as one of my development needs for like 5 years, I think, at least on my consulting. I've been in consulting for 10 years. And that was the most helpful thing that somebody said to me that really clicked and stuck with me for like the last 15 years, right? And so I think you have to find your own that. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, I was always perfect in the past. It's not so much about that. But there are times you've overcome adversity in the past, and you may not remember it well enough or celebrate it well enough, and you forget. And I think eliminating the fear through intelligent action is about recounting the times, all the times you were at an adverse situation where you weren't sure what to do. And I know all of you have done this because you're already experienced. And then you figured it out. Might have not been on the first try, and that's okay, but you figured it out in the past. So why would you think that you won't this time if you've done it in the past? So that would be the second tip. And I think the third one, it says, if it is not within your power to eliminate the fear, then consult someone who has made a study of human mind. Present your case to the quote-unquote doctor or mental healer, who in turn will analyze this fear and use your intelligence and willpower to eliminate the fear. So that's what I mean by ask for help, right? If you are a little bit stuck and you have the constant negative loop, start asking fear. Start asking someone else to help you. And the last one is really, do not fear anything needlessly. Analyze your fears in the light of truth, and you'll find that there is in reality nothing worthy of being feared. I know that's a pretty metaphysics kind of writing, but I think this is an important topic, because we have so many high achievers, and sometimes we're the ones that probably stopped ourselves from going further. And my biggest explanation for that is, if you start splitting your energy from actually learning and solving to start worrying and fearing, you're naturally not going to have 100% dedicated towards the learning, and you're self-sabotaging. And so the biggest thing, just by you asking the question, means you're aware. And so when you have that awareness, take some action either on your own to eliminate it or ask somebody else. Just talk it out a little bit, because sometimes when you speak about it, you realize like it's a little sillier than what's really real and amplified in your mind in the middle of the night when you can't sleep. And it may not be such a big deal. Ala, does that give you some ideas of what you might want to do either differently or tweak some things that you do today?
Yeah. I think just pausing and reflecting and being self-aware, especially when you're switching to something new and being surrounded by people who've been doing this for years, and just giving yourself the space and the time. And all the other points. Thank you. Yeah.
It comes back, I mean, the reason I relate this to confidence is it comes back to your core confidence. Confidence is not something that you get once you get something else. It is just something you give yourself. You give yourself the permission to say, hey, I'm a smart person. I just wrote this on LinkedIn, I think yesterday or something, this quote, we have what we need within us already. You have what you need within you already. There is nothing more that you need. Just by asking the question, having the passion, wanting to learn, you're actually going to achieve everything you want. But the more you question it, the more you start wondering if you could, that's where it starts distracting. And it is hard. it is hard. And when we're stuck on our own, I would say talk to others, stop the cycle, because it's that cycle that becomes kind of a fake truth in your mind that starts playing games with you. And so it is very important to catch it and stop that cycle.